Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Welcome to the Mystery to Me podcast. I'm Anya Kane.
And I'm Kevin Greenlee.
And we love movies and television shows with a whiff of mystery. Mystery to Me will feature us riffing on murder mysteries, film noir, cozy detective stories, police procedurals, psychological thrillers, legal dramas, tales of teen sleuths, and more.
Once we're done yucking it up about whatever we've just seen, we'll serve up our 5-star final takes on whether it's worth your time.
If you're offended by silliness, profanity, political asides, canine-related interruptions, and losers laughing at their own bad jokes, beware. Also note that some of the stories we'll be talking about are pretty dark, and in some cases, exceptionally badly written. So content warning for murder, violence, suicide, torture, rape, racism, misogyny, homophobia, transphobia, and bigotry.
If there's a movie or show you'd like for us to talk about, email us at mysterytomepodcast@gmail.com. Our show's take on genre is pretty loosey-goosey. So as long as your suggestion has some dash of mystery, we're interested in hearing about it.
Spoiler alert, we're going to be discussing the entirety of this show or movie, spoilers and all. So if you want to be surprised, press pause, go watch the thing, then join us for the show. Now that you've heard our spiel, go ahead and polish off those magnifying glasses and slip into your favorite trench coat. Let's get mysterious.
So, Anya, how angry are you?
Kevin, I'm so angry. I could put you in a rowboat and push you out to sea. Actually, no, not you. I would just be taking it out on you. I want to put Patrick McGowan in a rowboat and push him out to sea.
And that's interesting because you actually are a huge fan of Patrick
McGowan. I'm actually
McGowan.
A huge fan.
But we'll get to that in a minute. You were actually known in college as being a big fan of Patrick McGowan.
Yeah, I was actually known in college. And in high school, to a certain extent, I spent a lot of my senior year cosplaying as one of Patrick McGowan's characters, number 6.
This tells us an awful lot about your
youth. Yeah, really fucking does. Jesus.
So what did we just watch?
Well, Kevin, we just watched The Last Salute to the Commodore, the 6th episode of Columbo's 5th season. Which aired, of course, originally on May 2nd, 1976. A date that will live in fucking infamy.
No. Why don't we start with Patrick McGowan, and then we'll get to Columbo?
Yeah, let's...
Because also, generally, you're a fan of Columbo.
I'm a fan of Columbo. I love it all. So when you tell me Patrick McGowan directing Columbo on the surface... I mean, he's... Patrick McGowan, to be clear, he starred in... He was the guest star in some Columbo episodes. He directed a few episodes This one is the most infamous. Patrick McGoohan was a television star of his own right. He famously starred in the program Danger Man / Secret Agent Man. It's where that song that you're thinking of right now came from. Yes, it is. And it's terrific. It's just like really kind of, it's kind of quiet 1960s spy fiction, kind of a more realistic version of James Bond. I really enjoyed it. I watched all of it in middle school and high school for some reason.
And I remember you've often told me this anecdote. You're on a bus in college, either going to somewhere or from somewhere, and the instructor somehow stumbles across the information that you're a Patrick McGoohan fan, and the instructor comes and takes you by the lapels and shakes you, and what does that instructor say to you?
You've got to watch The Scarecrow.
So what is The Scarecrow? This is a show that's not as well known.
We're going to talk about that on Mystery Me someday. The Scarecrow is an insane three-part miniseries from like 1960s, 1950s Walt Disney, when they made like weird little shows like this. Patrick McGoohan stars as an Anglican priest / vigilante who dresses up like a scarecrow at night in order to help the, I believe, Cornish, the people of Cornwall, essentially smuggle various goods from France. And it's very weirdly violent and dark tone for a, what's like ostensibly just kind of like Davy Crockett in England sort of situation. It's amazing. It's insane. And I love it so much. And I'm so grateful to that instructor for bringing it into my life.
And in fact, when you were courting me, one of the ways in which you pitched woo in my direction was you encouraged me to watch The Scarecrow.
Let me take you into my fucked up little mind. It's really weird, and I think you like weird, and I liked it too. He has, Patrick McGoohan as an actor has this real intensity. Like, he just has this, he's intimidating. He's like, feels very intelligent and also very pissed off specifically at you. Like, it's this weird vibe that works for him. But he was in a bunch of Disney shit. It's weird. Anyways,
go ahead.
Should I say what he's most known for in my mind in this day and age?
Sure.
The Prisoner. And that's where I think maybe we're looking at things. That's where I first watched Danger Man, then kind of an indirect sequel to that is this show called The Prisoner. Basically, a spy wakes up in a scary village that's run by people who are like, you know, everyone has a number, no one has a name, no one has any freedom, you can't leave, blah, blah, blah. It's very, very, very weird, trippy, psychedelic. It doesn't make any sense. The ending pisses people off. I happen to be one of the few people, or at least I'm sure there's other people who like it. I really liked it. It was weird, but it worked for me. I don't know. I just had a good time watching it. I guess it's very, they do a cowboy episode.
That's what I was saying. Wasn't there one episode where suddenly everybody's a cowboy.
Everybody's cowboys. They do an episode where a guy is like the bad guy and thinks he's Napoleon. They're
Napoleon Solo?
No.
A little bit of foreshadowing.
We'll come to that later. But let me give you a sense of how trippy this is. The reason they can't leave, you're like, okay, is it armed guards? No. There is a giant white ball named Rover that will bounce over to you and suck you up. And I guess you die then? I don't know. But that's how you can't leave. It's insane. They were on drugs. Or if they weren't on drugs, I don't know. It was just it's a wacky show. It's like, not that many episodes. I think basically it's all a big stupid meditation on like free will and like individuality versus conformity. So me being a really pretentious teenager, this connected with me. And so I wore the badge of number 6, which is of course Patrick McGoohan's character, on my lapel in high school to show that I was an individual by essentially taking the identity that it's forced upon an individual. So I mixed messaging there, but
you were very confused.
There was a point to be made. And so all that is to say, I love Patrick McGoohan.
Okay. Then let's pause there.
Yeah.
Why don't you talk a little bit about your experience and impressions of Columbo prior to this evening?
Well, and I think you should also give your take on all that too, because you're a Columbo man longer than I have been a Columbo man.
You're not a Columbo man. You're a Columbo young lady.
Columbo miss. we're all Columbo men and Columbo misses here. Basically, he's this, I mean, it's a delightful character. It sort of feels like kind of classic old-timey mysteries where, you know, very unrealistic. One genius guy is going to solve it all for us. And they introduce you in the beginning to who the killer is, usually. And then you see this guy, Columbo, put it all together. And what's fun about it is he's played by Peter Falk, and he's this kind of rumpled, ruffled, kind of like acting like a fool. Oh, what's this? I don't know what this is. Oh, what's this, Duke? Wow, that's really cool. And but like he seems really like just kind of, you know, just disarmingly genial, not so smart guy. But on the inside, he's like out to fucking kill you. Like he's going to fuck up your shit. He's really smart, and he's waiting for you to fuck up and say the wrong thing so he can arrest you and get you sent to San Quentin. So it's a delightful show. It's just always like these kind of, oftentimes it's like him, this working class guy, versus these fancy snobs, killers who think they're smarter than him and then just make up a, you know, like he gets them in the end. And you're like, yeah. So it's just a very satisfying show. I've often really enjoyed it.
So it would seem that if there was one thing, one creative force that you like and admire, and you take that and you add that to a program you admire and enjoy, that the end result would be a bounty of happiness and pleasure.
Nope. The result was out to sea. Do you have any? I mean, what were your impressions? You've seen this before.
I've not seen it before.
You've not seen it before. So you didn't know. I mean, you like
Patrick. I've heard about it.
You like Patrick. You watched The Prisoner, right?
I watched some episodes of The Prisoner.
You haven't seen the whole Prisoner. But you had no complaints about Patrick McGowan.
I had no real complaints about Patrick McGowan.
You had no real complaints. You didn't talk to his manager.
That's right. That was just between him and me.
It got resolved eventually. And then what about Columbo? I think you probably watched more Columbo than I have. What's been your impression of that?
I've watched most of them. I started watching it when it was revived in the late 80s after having been off the air for, I think, about 10 years.
Wow.
The star, Peter Falk, returned to the role. The scripts weren't quite as good, although they were certainly better than what we saw tonight.
Yeah. This fell off a dock. You know, this took a long walk off a short pier.
I think the last Columbo was in 2003, and it was called something like Columbo Loves the Nightlife. And it has him getting involved in like modern, or what was modern in 2003, like nightclub stuff.
Good God.
And the villain in that episode was the male lead from the show The Americans.
Jesus Christ. Well,
that's a show where like every week, I only saw a couple of episodes, but like every week the male star would wear like a different bad wig.
So it's like Our House.
Did you watch that program?
No, I never did. I don't know, something about it. I was like, I don't know. It just didn't seem like it was, I like spy stuff, but I don't know.
You want the spy stuff to be surreal and not make any sense.
Yeah, I want people to be in a little village wearing strange
and suddenly be cowboys.
But now we're cowboys, baby. You know what? That's what I mean, like, yeah, let's do a cowboy episode. Fuck it. Nothing makes sense. Everyone has numbers. It's just fun. I mean, there's a big chessboard that we're all standing on for some reason. It's just
like
fun.
A cowboy episode of Star Trek. Yeah, like everybody was doing
everyone's
it.
Doing it. Come on, you gotta do cowboys. Everyone, let's have some fucking fun.
Should we do a cowboy episode of Mystery to Me?
Yeehaw! Flapping my hat around, doing my lasso. yeah. So, okay, let's get to the fucking, let's dive in, as they say. Dive into this mess.
This is generally considered by most people to be the worst episode of Columbo by far. If you go to the IMDb page for this episode, there's a lot of bad reviews.
Let me just preface by saying if this were 30 minutes, it would be a fascinating mistake. But at an hour and 30 minutes, it becomes purgatory. I felt we were stuck in limbo, just waiting for the thing to end, and the bizarre pacing, which is predominantly, in my view, the huge problem with this pacing, becomes less of a charming oddity and more like just grating on your, like, I felt like this episode was made to specifically annoy the viewer. Like, if you told me Patrick McGowan just decided, you know what, I want to fuck with these people. I just want to piss them off. Not in the fun prisoner way where it's all explosive and bullshit at the end, but like in a very quiet, like,
The pacing was way off. Everything was much slower than it needed to be. Lots of irrelevant information was repeated over and over again.
You had a really good analogy for it.
Oh, I said, betraying my age. I said it was like a record played on the wrong speed.
Yeah. It sometimes when we are doing our little audio podcasting wizardry, we, something gets fucked up and suddenly the file that our voices sound like, you know, like sound really deep and slow. And it felt like it was like the words I'm saying are correct, but everything sounds completely fucked up. And that's what this episode was for me, to use a more modern version of your anecdote.
Peter Falk, who plays Columbo, often seemed to be like intoxicated or like really, really tired.
Someone like, did Patrick McGowan drug him like to get the performance he wanted?
At one point as we were watching it, you said, I don't know what this says about me, Kevin, but I understand what he's trying to do.
I think like he was trying to just be a little bit too smart by half and like kind of, you know, lean into some of the silly, or not silly, but like kind of just weird shit of like people having these weird interactions and like make it almost like slice of like make it kind of like realistic, but also like he was kind of trying all these like different shots that you could tell he was trying to make them look a little bit more arty or interesting. But it was just like either he couldn't do that with whatever setup or budget they had, or it just, he didn't have the right ideas to be able to translate that. But like, as I said in the beginning, 30 minutes in, it's bad. But I'm interested. I'm interested in what makes it bad. Or maybe why it kind of came a little bit close to being...
Yeah, at one point you said, Kevin, I hate this, but I don't hate it.
And you know what, Kevin? You may be taking the role of the baffled spouse in this situation, but you heartily agreed with me and said, I don't know what it is, but you're right. So what did you think it was, Mr. Smartass? This man once told me, because I'll be like, Kevin, I hate it when you go on Mystery to Me and say, like, oh, Anya, why did you think this? You dumbass. And and like,
I'm the voice of the audience.
Yeah, you're the voice of the, and meanwhile, you were in there hooting and hollering and completely agreeing with me. And he said, I think conflict makes the show better. So you're the fucking Patrick McGowan of this fucking program. So don't give me any of that I don't know bullshit.
I wasn't talking in a British accent saying, oh, conflict.
Conflict. Conflict is the heart of Mystery to Me. What did you think almost make it work? Because there was a second there, it almost like, it's like, it felt like, it was like, you know how sometimes you're doing some mechanism and it's like you need like a hook to go in a certain chain and like you can't quite make it, like it almost went in though, to me. Like, but then it kind of, once it didn't, here's a good analogy. It's like a car.
This'll be good.
It's a car going up a very steep hill. And like once you get over the hill, you can just use gravity to get down. But it doesn't quite get to the top, and then we're rolling back. And so this, a lot of this felt like we almost got there, but then we just completely rolled back, and it was a disaster.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on Digital. Crow portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
So for you, what was he trying to do?
I think he was trying to stretch the character and the format. And one thing we haven't mentioned was that he did make a pretty significant break with the Columbo format. The Columbo programs, each episode begins with us seeing the murderer commit his crime. And it's always a very clever crime that seems to be almost a perfect crime. And then Columbo comes in and gradually figures it out. And so there is an interesting cat and mouse thing where we see, oh, how's Columbo going to figure this out? In this one, the viewer and Columbo believe that the wrong person is guilty for a significant part of the running time. And then after that point, we don't know who the actual killer is that Columbo is trying to get. And he doesn't even seem to know who it is.
Yeah, so it's like...
So it's very different.
It's very different, and it doesn't work at all. Like, maybe when we describe it like that, it doesn't sound like a fatal flaw. But the formula works, and if you're like expanding upon it to show that Columbo is human and fallible, okay, character development. But like that's not what we get from this. It just makes it more hard to follow.
There were a number of long sequences where things were either over-explained in a dull way. With like, oh, this is a self-driving mechanism. Also, it drives itself. Yes, it's self-driving. Oh, so he means that no one needs to do anything with it. Yes, it's self-driving.
But where's the driver? It's like, ah! So
that's not a bad paraphrase of one scene that seemed to last a few minutes. And then there are other things that aren't explained enough. Like, there's this long scene with stencils that...
They're, like, putting together, like, how to spell sales. And you're like, what is this, fucking Hooked on Phonics with Columbo all of a sudden? I had no idea what that was all about. I think I missed something because I was like zoned. My eyes were glazing over. I felt like he was trying to take an arty approach with some of the cinematography, but it just doesn't translate at all. Just ends up look. A lot of the shots look like really cluttered and like not impressive.
And you say take an arty approach. Are you talking
pretentious?
Like Artemis Gordon.
Just trying to head that off of the pass.
Yeah.
Jesus,
this is why I don't talk. You're not a very good straight person.
If Artemis Gordon had been in this, he would have just taken one of those boats and just sailed off. It wasn't fun.
No, there wasn't. There were some things that were within shouting distance of humor where they were trying to be funny, but it didn't work.
I bust out laughing once, and I think it was more of like a pent up nervousness. I forget what it was, but there was like one thing that made, I don't even remember.
I remember what it was.
What was it? When the screen went blank for a commercial.
In this episode, Columbo inexplicably has a young assistant played by a young Dennis Dugan. And during the big final confrontation at a library where all the suspects are gathered, like a Thin Man movie, except those are entertaining. He turns over, the young guy turns over a sheet of paper and says, and here's all the suspects. And Columbo says, don't show that yet. and you just burst out laughing. Yep. Like that was the best thing you'd ever heard.
That was the best thing I ever heard. Thank you, Patrick McEwen. Just so starved for anything remotely entertaining in this episode. Have you seen other Patrick McEwen directed episodes of Columbo?
Yes.
Are they bad?
Some are better than others. Some aren't great, but this isn't a class by itself. Some are quite good. One of the final episodes was, I think, called Ashes to Ashes, where Patrick McEwen plays a celebrity funeral director. And that one was pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, this is just...
That's a show you would watch. Yeah. A reality show about a celebrity funeral director.
Oh my God, I probably would, yeah. Especially if Patrick McEwen was doing it. Kevin, I just don't understand. I don't understand why nobody, like, I think you got some more context on this because you've been reading a book about this subject.
About this episode in particular?
Well, I think it maybe shed some light on some of the things behind the scenes.
There's always a lot of production turmoil behind the scenes. Peter Falk was difficult to work with. And at some point, they said, well, maybe it's just not worth going forward. And so this was, for a brief time, thought to be, well, this would be the last ever episode. And in the end of the episode, in fact, Peter Falk gets into a little rowboat and rows himself off into the sunset. But right before that, he pulls out a cigar and asks for a light, and somebody gives him a light and says, I thought you were going to quit. And he says, and he kind of almost looks to the camera and winks and says, I was thinking about it, but not yet. And long, long pause, and then he says, not yet. And then he nods thoughtfully and then walks out very, very slowly to the boat, humming This Old Man. And rows off into the sunset, and they call out to him, where are you going? He says, I'm going to meet my wife at the yacht club.
I wished we could do that after watching this. Except we, I mean, I don't... Why, if they wanted this to be the grand finale, why did nobody rein Patrick McEwen in and say, that's not how it's done, man?
If this is the grand finale, maybe this is the time to do things a bit differently. Is there a last chance at bat? Let's break the formula. Let's push some boundaries. These outmoded middle-class values and ideas about entertainment and coherency.
Bourgeoisie. God damn. Yeah. I think that's what he was trying. I think he was trying to do something like, let me break the format. I'll blow their minds like I did with The Prisoner. And it just ended up sinking like a stone to the bottom of the sea.
So other than The Prisoner and Scarecrow, are there other Patrick McEwen projects you admire?
Well, no, not really. Except Danger Man. Love that. But he was almost James Bond. I just like the intensity that he brings to those different roles. He always just seems like very smart, very pissed off. It's a good combo, in my opinion. And there's one movie that he's in that's like so like, I don't know what they were thinking. There's a frick. I can't even remember it. It's like something Thomasina, and it's about a cat. He like is a veterinarian who like puts down his daughter's cat. That's all I remember about it. But it's a Disney movie from like the 60s, and it's got the little girl from Mary Poppins in it. I remember watching it and being like, as a kid, what the fuck is this?
Of course, you're talking about The Three Lives of Thomasina?
Yeah, isn't that insane?
So he kills his daughter's cat?
Yeah, that's pretty... Patrick McEwen shows up, just kills his daughter's cat, and he, like, doesn't believe in God because his wife died.
Jesus.
That's it back when Disney was going nuts.
It's based on a novel by the guy that wrote The Poseidon Adventure.
For a while... Interesting. For a while, Disney, like, the TV shows, there was, like, a couple of ones that went off, like, that went on that was, like, it was essentially, like, hey, look at this cool guy. He kind of breaks the rules against the evil empire in a sort of family-friendly way. Or he kind of, you know, is in the frontier in a family-friendly way. You know, Davy Crockett is one example. I think they were trying to fit the Scarecrow into that, but it was way too dark to really, I think, work, and also the issue. It was based on a series of novels called like the Dr. Sin novels, which I think were even more dark. And also it doesn't really work because I don't think American audiences know that much about like issues with in Cornwall with smuggling and why, you know, those are, you know, why those people were being oppressed by the crown. So, I mean, I love it, but I don't think it was a rousing success in terms of like how it was received, because it only just, they just did three episodes essentially. But there was like that weird historical obsession that kind of was a underpinning of some of the early Disney TV projects. So that's interesting to me. She said defensively.
I'm longing for that episode.
And Kevin's like, oh, jeez. Giving out of watching the fucking scare. You'll admit that as a baller theme song.
Yes.
Scarecrow. Scarecrow. The soldiers of the king fear his name. It's for kids.
Maybe we should have watched that tonight.
Honestly, it would have been more entertaining.
Was there anything redeeming about this?
You often say that it's better to fail while trying to do something different than to, you know, just make the same bland crap all, you know, over and over and over again. So on that note, they did something different.
That's true. That's true.
I didn't feel like it was made without affection for the show. It wasn't like a hate letter to Columbo of like, fuck this whole thing.
We were watching it, I was surreptitiously skimming some of the reviews on IMDb, and some people there seemed to think it was a little bit contemptuous.
Maybe a little bit of the kind of like, well, he doesn't even know what's going on. He's not that smart.
He's just a big dummy. Why don't you pay attention to my other roles?
I don't know. I didn't feel like it was that hateful, though. I think it was mostly just trying to break out of the mold unsuccessfully. Because I think if you're going to break out of the mold, fine, but like have a reason to do so. This didn't feel like, it just felt, it was like, let's just do something different because I'm Patrick McGoohan, bitch. It tried to do something different. It tried to take a kind of weird approach to some of the pacing. Was the slowness supposed to be more artistic or more like moody or something? Is that what it was? Was that what they were going for?
I have no idea. Cinema verite.
Cinema verite, Columbo style.
Some of the scenes where the information was repeated over and over almost seemed like it was improvised, and not in a good way.
I think you're onto something. That scene where they were doing all the boom, mizzen, mast, jib, jibe, crap on the boat made it seemed very improv-y. Oh, and Robert Vaughn is here. He's, of course, Napoleon Solo in The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
One of your favorite ever shows.
That's not true. You're making me sound like a nerd. I have watched the entirety of The Man from U.N.C.L.E. for some reason. It's not my favorite
show. So you're not a nerd at all.
No, I'm not. I'm a jock.
So you watched the whole show.
I watched the whole show.
You just didn't like it that much.
It's not very good. I mean, he's charming. Ilya Kuryakin, I forget that actor's name, David McCallum. They're charming together. They're this weird, like, bromance American and Russian guy.
What age were you when you watched the entire
show? In my teens. I watched a lot of spy shows in my teens. I don't know why. Actually, I don't know. I watch a lot of boomer stuff. I grew up watching, like, Boomer.
Here's Boomer.
I'm a huge boomer, yeah.
Here's Boomer.
What's Here's Boomer? Is that what you're saying about me? Like, here's Boomer.
Boomer. if you want to really oversimplify, it's kind of like an American version of The Littlest Hobo.
Okay.
It's a little dog named Boomer who travels around. You know, he's never going to settle down. He's going from town to town. He's Boomer. And what I remember about that show as a child is there's one episode where he could talk. They just did it once. And it's like, geez, don't blur our minds like this. And then take it away. It's like suddenly this dog that I've been watching, he can speak. And I mean, he couldn't talk. That'd be silly. But we could read his thoughts.
Oh, okay.
We'd hear his thoughts aloud.
So he's not talking to his like other characters. He's just,
that'd be ridiculous.
He's just talking to you specifically.
This isn't like a Mr. Smith situation. This was a talking dog. By which I mean a thinking dog. And then they did. Then they just stopped it.
I can't even all dogs think.
Have you met our dog, Lanny?
It would just be like radio in like blurry snow sounds.
Why, if you're gonna do a talking dog, why don't you just keep the talking dog?
So does he? Like, see, he has adventures.
Yeah,
but he doesn't have a family.
He's Boomer. He's never gonna settle down.
Well, maybe
he's wandering from town to town.
Maybe it's not.
Those are the only two lines I remember.
Really? From maybe it's not so much that as that he's just looking for Boomtown.
Which is a show we covered extensively.
I've been waiting for a while to make that joke. Boomtown, baby. Boomtown.
This makes Boomtown season 2 look good.
Yeah, it did. Wow. Talk about it. I mean, that just like took all the personality out of the first season and just like, hey, throw this out. And then just made it this pale imitation. But
Patrick McGowan is probably dead by that point.
Yeah, he didn't.
We can't blame him.
We can't blame him for that. He snuck back in. Oh, man. Well, I'd be interested in checking out some of his better episodes and seeing maybe if we watch his better episodes and see what succeeded, we can see. I still don't understand. I feel like I feel like I'm crazy because I feel like I can't quite put my finger on what was so bad about this other than the general pacing episodes. But like, usually, don't you think when you see a director try and fail at something, it's pretty obvious, you know, maybe a semblance of what they were going for?
Yeah.
And I don't know what I don't feel like I understand what he was rowing his robot boat to on the horizon. You know, it wasn't the fucking yacht club. I just don't know where he was going with this. But anyways, this Commodore, he owns a big yacht company. He gets murdered. At first you think Napoleon Solo did it. And we open up with him like doing stuff and like hiding his body. But then it turns out that he's only doing that because he thought his drunk alcoholic wife killed her dad, his father-in-law. And then there's a guy named Swanee. He's his nephew, blah, blah, blah. There's a fancy lawyer who goes with sex workers.
And you think that at least Columbo always has a good Sacco ending. Where they have a dramatic way of capturing the bad guy.
Yeah. Instead, this is just Columbo getting in people's personal space, making them listen to a ticking watch. And a woman the woman who's like the alcoholic daughter of the deceased. Oh, also, Napoleon Solo gets murdered in the interim. You think he's the killer at first, but he gets murdered.
And it's not clear to me. Maybe it's clear to you. Why was he killed?
Maybe the agents of Thrush got to him. Mm. those are the bad guys in Man from U.N.C.L.E. Anyways, I think it was because he figured it out. I don't know. Everyone, you know, they make you think he's the killer at first, but then they gather them all, do a Thin Man style situation, and it turns out it's a guy named Swanee, who I think was the deceased nephew, but it's like so long and boring. It's really hard. It's really hard to pay attention.
Yeah.
And, you know, Columbo should at least have you entertained, and this one just...
And before people write emails, I looked it up on Wikipedia. Boomer's thoughts were only heard in one episode, which aired as a special on December 7th, 1980. When the series returned with new episodes in 1981, the gimmick was dropped. Viewers could no longer hear Boomer. Isn't that heartbreaking?
Doesn't that make you sad?
Yeah. Don't you hear what that dog is thinking? What's on his mind? I think he's got something to say.
What questions would you ask him if you could talk to him right now?
Why didn't you ever settle down? Why were you wandering from town to town? Was he like, did he have like an ideal in his mind? If I meet people who are perfect, I'll settle down with them. And was he just a perfectionist? And did this doom him to a life of loneliness and sadness? In his old age, as he died alone on the streets, did he wish he was comforted in a bed by his loved ones?
God.
Obviously, if he was on the show in 1980, he's been dead for a long time.
My God. Just bringing us down like this Columbo episode did.
What's your 5-star final?
Do you have any final thoughts that you want to share before we cast off?
My thoughts about Boomer. I've moved on. I've wandered over into a new town, Boomer Town.
Are you gonna leave me? You're going to Boomer Town without me?
He's Boomer.
I think you wanted Boomer to be your dog. That's what I think.
He was a good dog.
Not good enough, apparently.
Only on for like 2 seasons.
But it made a big impact on you, apparently.
March 1980 through August of 82.
What a glorious few months those were. You and Boomer against the world.
So you've never seen this show.
Did they ever have a dog episode of Columbo where like a scrappy dog comes and helps him solve a mystery and then moves on?
Obviously he has a dog.
Yeah.
But I don't think he ever helps him really with a case, does he?
Oh. Miss some gold. They should have made Patrick McGoohan do that episode.
It's pretty... Boomer, here's Boomer had a great guest star list. Natalie Schaefer, that of course is TV's Mrs. Howell. Gene Rayburn. Meadowlark Lemon. What a dream team. Jonathan Frakes. Tom Bosley.
Well, I guess I'll do my 5-star final if we're done.
I think we're done.
I think when we're looking for other shows to talk about on the episode about an episode, that's a pretty sad sign, right?
Yeah.
I would say that The Last Salute to the Commodore plunges like a sinking ship.
Thanks for listening this week. I'd like to give a special thanks to Kevin T. Greenlee, who's no relation to me. He's the guy that composed the great music for this podcast, and you can find him on the web at kevintg.com.
You can follow us on Twitter at MysteryToMe. That's mystery_to_me_. And at Mystery to Me Podcast on Facebook and Instagram.
And you can always send us recommendations and feedback of any kind at mysterytomepodcast@gmail.com.
We're not teens setting up Hotmail accounts in the early 2000s, so all of those spell out two as T-O.
Thanks so much for listening.